Yeah, so this one time, Steve and I were, well, this is a family show, never mind. Well, here's Gruber. Night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, 33 after on a Thursday. Good to have you here. Just trying to keep up on everything that's happening this morning. Joe Biden announcing for president, as you know. We've been talking about that for the first few minutes, and what a bizarre opening comment from him. We'll get back to that. A lot of things to talk about here closer to home here in Michigan today. As the Senate has approved a raise the age plan, Michigan, one of only a few states left where people under the age of 18 could be charged as adults for criminal activity. And that's being pushed back upon by people like my next guest, Senator Peter Lucido, State Senator of Michigan in the 8th District. Senator, how are you this morning?
Well, good morning, Steve, and good morning to listeners.
Good to have you here. All right, so you've been in state government for a number of years, and this is a plan. Criminal justice reform obviously has gained steam at the federal level under this president and some of the things that have happened, but now criminal reform here at the state level. What needed to change in your mind and why?
Well, over 30 years, I've been practicing criminal law. So I was a lawyer before I got to this Senate, and as a result, I also was a probation officer. I saw the youth coming in, and then I saw 17-year-olds charged as adults in this state. And I looked at how many states actually were charging 17 years old as adults. We are one of four states that are left on the books. And when our family court was established 15 years ago, child support goes until the child's 18th birthday. Then the child is considered an adult after 18. So they didn't even line it up right when they made the family court because they said one family, one court. And the supervision over the parents, will continue until that child turns 18, which means getting moms and dads to do the right thing by court order if they're not going to do it automatically as being parents. But here's the biggest thing. In this state, you cannot sit on a jury until you're 18. So if I have a 17-year-old asking for a jury of his or her peers, do they really get juries of their peers when they can't even serve on a jury until they're 18 years of age? You can't vote,
right?
Can't buy cigarettes, can't even go into the military unless you got parental consent, and you can't even get married without parental consent.
So now let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this, because I know, you know, what the detractors are going to say. They're going to say, well, what about violent crimes? What if,
a
16, 17-year-old
kid with... That's great.
Go ahead.
We have a waiver provision. The prosecutors are the ones that bring the charges. And the prosecutors are the ones that says, this is murder, this is rape, this is sexual assault. You have a right as a prosecutor to waive that child at 12, 10, 9, up to adult court and try him as an adult. That waiver provision is untouched, and I don't want to touch it because the prosecution must bring the charges and prove those charges beyond a reasonable doubt.
Now, wait a second. I mean, if there's a waiver provision, then what do we need to do this overhaul for? Fair question.
I'm glad you asked that, too, Steve. Last year, 7,000 17-year-olds were charged. Of that, 50% of that were traffic tickets. Charged as adults, went to the adult court where there's no services for the children. It's all punitive in nature. And they went ahead and just sui sponte paid a fine, slapped on the wrist by the judge. So now that's half of them. Another quarter of those were non-reporting probation because they were almost 18. So the judge said, you'll be out of high school. You better keep your nose clean until you get out of high school. The last quarter of them needed services, such as counseling, such as reporting probation, and a few of those kids went into the youth home. So why do we need this? Because long-term, Steve, we're going to have guppies put in a shark tank like we have been doing, and they turn out to be career criminals. And we are the largest state population of prisons, and now I'm realizing this state did the wrong thing years ago, back in the 40s, by allowing this to happen.
So basically what you're saying, Senator, is we're creating criminal training facilities.
You got it. And we're paying for it, too. The taxpayers are pulling the money out of the pocket faster than they can make it to put criminals in jail and warehouse them, because when you take a 17-year-old, put them in jail and get them acclimated to the criminal system, that's all they really know. Their brains aren't fully developed, and that's the educational level that they're getting behind bars.
So what is how do you forecast this going through? Do you have support on both sides of the aisles? What do you think is going to happen?
1,000%. 5.5 years ago, this had bipartisan support. There were a couple legislators that we all sat down from the both sides of the aisle and said, look, why are we doing this? What's the impetus? How is this handled in other states, and why do they do it differently? And then we all realized, look at the cost and expense, because we all charted most of the ones that were in prison, and they all started when they were very young.
Well, I asked that. It's a serious question. It's a serious question because in 2019, I'm hearing Democrats running for office all over the place suggesting we lower the voting age in America to 16. And if you lower the voting age to 16, shouldn't that also be the age of adulthood? And it's a serious question. You can't have people voting at 16 and not prosecutable until they're 18. It seems like
I don't disagree with you, but I'm not a proponent of lowering the age to 16.
I didn't say were. I understand that. I'm trying to figure out where the Democrats are going to come down on this. I think they have a bit of a problem.
Why don't you wait a minute? Spend the time and ask them. You've got to ask me this question: does raise the age do something for this state? And if so, what's it going to do?
Great
it's going
question.
To be a better system, and it should have been done when the juvenile court and the family court got together and called the family court. That's when the supervision should have started.
All right. So, in the long run here, these 7,000 17-year-olds charged as adults. What happens to them in the future? Where do we go from here?
I'm going to tell you what you're going to see. First of all, the resources from the prosecutor's office can be shifted down to the juvenile division. You're going to see that those 17-year-olds, you're going to see less recidivism rates of those young offenders, because by 18, when they get out of high school, they'll go into the military. They'll automatically go to college, some of them. Some of them will take full-time jobs. Some will go career orientation. You're going to see a big change, because once you end up in the criminal court as an adult, it's a Ferris wheel, because there is no programs, there is no parental supervision. The parents could have two children in a car committing the same crime, a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old right now. One's going to adult court, one's going to juvenile court. And they had outcomes like this with children, looking at who came out differently, determinative outcomes. I'm telling you now, with the parents being in the family court and the judge saying, you're ordered to take your child to this counseling, you're ordered to take this child to substance abuse, there's no turning back. The parents must be stepping up their game and become parents again.
Yeah. There's a lot of things we could discuss in that realm. I think the parents do need to step up and be parents again. Senator
Agreed.
Peter Lucido here, State Senator of Michigan for the 8th District. And, Senator, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I just want to know that there's fairness in the justice system. Being a lawyer for over 30 years before coming up to Lansing, I realize there's justice reforms in the criminal arena, and I'm very proud to see that this package went through the Senate on its way to the House, and it should have no problem getting to the governor's desk, because it's the right thing to do, Steve.
And I'll tell you this, Senator, you know, showing that we have compassion, we have forgiven you for being a lawyer for 30 years on the program. So, you know, we have forgiven you here, Senator, and allowed you to come on.
Well, at least the justice system on the radio this morning is compassionate.
There you go, my friend. Senator, always good. Have a great day.
You too. Take care, Steve. Take care, listeners.
There you go. Great conversation. Senator Peter Lucido from the 8th District here in Michigan. What do you think about that? Drop me a line, stevegruber.com. What do you think about that? 17-year-olds not being charged as adults and a whole host of criminal activity. SteveGruber.com. Drop me a note. We'll get to the mailbag soon. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Confessions of Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, don't make me turn this car around, or because I said so, or don't make me come back there. I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. Don't make me come back there. Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. Don't make me come back there. Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, parents! It's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.